It is so good to be back with you. You know, the welcome you give us when we come to this place, you don't know how much that means to us. You know, for some reason or another, our lives, and I don't know if I'm too loud or not, but Jeff can work it up out there. But our lives have intersected with this church at some very significant times, both in our lives and in the life of this church. First, when we came as missionaries to live in the mission house, and you blessed us with just welcoming us and loving us and providing a place for us. And then to be called as your interim pastor at a critical time when you needed some help and some wisdom. Not sure I had it, but I did what I could. And God blessed in such miraculous ways. And so all through this time, and now we come to another time in the life of this church that is very significant. You know, as I began to pray about what I would share with you this morning, I tell you what, I remembered and looked back over sermons that I had preached in the past. Is Max here? Max is not here, right? Because he writes in his Bible what passage I preached on and the date I preached it on. And I said, if Max is here, he might remember some of this stuff. But anyway, I remember it was 9 years ago, in June of 2012, I preached a sermon here in this church called Beginnings and Endings. And I remember that because it was a time of transition. It was a time when things were changing, and there was going to be an ending, and there was going to be a beginning that was going to take place. And the transition from North Peachtree Baptist Church and the merger and to become Crossroads at Dunwoody, what a powerful act of God in this church. And so we had a part in that. We had the privilege of being here during that time and assisting the church through that period. And now we're here again, and as I began to pray about, Lord, what do you want me to say to Crossroads this morning, I came to this idea of preparing for the future under new leadership. Preparing for the future that God has for you under new leadership. I was talking, your new pastor will be here on August the 1st. And that is going to be an exciting day in the life of this church. The beginning of a new future that God has prepared for you. You've come through the search process. A new leader, a new pastor, a new shepherd has been called to serve you and to lead this church for the foreseeable future. And as I prayed, I thought about the times in the Bible when changes in leadership of God's people took place. And there are a lot of them, but I'm only going to mention a couple of them this morning. But the Bible is kind of gives you an example of when these things happen, whether it is an exciting time and a good time or a not so good time. But there are times throughout the Bible when God's people had to change. There was a change in the leadership of God's people. Probably one of the most famous ones in the Old Testament was Moses giving over to Joshua, right? Moses and Joshua. Moses had brought the people of God out of the people of Egypt. He had been called by God to bring them out to be help them to be delivered from the hand of the Egyptians and to go through the promise, through the desert and into the promised land. And Moses' time came to an end, and God said, it's time for a new leader. And Joshua was the man. God said to him, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you, Joshua. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, when Joshua stood before the people of God, do you remember what he said? The leaders, he called them to prepare for all that God had for them. Listen to that. He called them to prepare for what God had in store for them to do in moving into the promised land. And the people of God responded this way. According to Joshua chapter 1, all that you commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. just as we obeyed Moses and all the things that he did, so we will obey you. In other words, when the people of God, they recognized that just as God had chosen Moses to bring them to where they were, God had also chosen Joshua to lead them into the promised land and into the future that God had for them. So they moved forward under new leadership. Now, I love that passage where he said, you know, Joshua is standing before the people of God as the new leader, as the one that God had chosen to take over from Moses and to lead the people into the promised land. And he said, look, God is with us. I will not leave. God has said, I will not leave you. And the people said, we will go. We will go. Let me ask you, are you ready to go? Say it again. You ready to go? You ready to go into the future that God has for you? Because that's what it's all about. Anytime there's transition that takes place, anytime there's something new about to happen, it's like God has given you an opportunity to enter into a new future. And we don't know what the future holds. God does. But we don't know what the future holds. But what God does for the people of God, he provides leaders who will help us to go into that new future that he has prepared for us. Do you believe God has a future for this church? Let's hear it again. God has a future. And what he does, he calls people to, and he puts people in place to help this church to move into that new future that God has for you. And man, if you can imagine, because the Bible says that God has future for us that's beyond anything we could think or imagine. And that's what he wants to do for you. As you enter into a time of new leadership, and I just heard some exciting news already this morning, and you did too, about the campus over here, about this new pastor already making contact with the student ministry and saying, why don't we have a ministry at that university, at that college? That says to me, you've got a leader coming who has a heart for young people and for reaching out to those who are lost and those who need to hear the gospel. And that Anton, that was exciting news. That this church is going to be kind of the rock, the foundation for a new ministry over at this college, and it will give students over there the opportunity to know and to hear about the love of Christ and what he has. So what I'm saying to you is, as transition takes place, it is exciting, but it is also challenging for you. You see, the other one I would mention is when the churches in the New Testament, many of which were planted and grew under the leadership of the Apostle Paul, but as you read through the New Testament and the letters of Paul, you understand that Paul would start the church, and he may stay there for a period of time, training the leaders and preaching the gospel and trying to give them a solid foundation, and then he would leave and turn it over to somebody else. We don't know who all the pastors were. We don't know who the elders were in many of those churches, but there's one church we did know about, and that was the church at Ephesus. And it was one of the great churches of the early churches, and Paul had planted that church, and he wanted to turn it over to someone who he had trained and he had prepared to take over the reins and to lead that church after he left. Do you remember who he turned it over to? Who was the pastor of the church at Ephesus? Oh, man, you're going to learn something new this morning. His name was Timothy. Timothy, his son in the faith. You see, Paul started the great church at Ephesus, then turned the leadership of that church over to his son in the faith, Timothy. It is to that church under Timothy's leadership that Paul wrote these words. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, listen, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Who are the saints? You are. You are. He said, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So in writing to that great church under the leadership of his son in the faith, Timothy, I believe the church saw God's hand upon Timothy as it had been upon Paul, and they honored him as their pastor and their shepherd. So here's what I've come to understand from looking at and studying some of these changes in leadership that we saw in the Bible, in God's Word. Listen to this. When the people of God acknowledged that God was at work in bringing new leadership to stand before them and committed themselves to the work of God, then great things begin to happen. I'm going to say that one more time because that's the core of my message to you today. Hear this once again. When the people of God acknowledge that God is at work in bringing new leadership to stand before his people, and they commit themselves to the work of God, then great things begin to happen. And that's what's going to happen here. I believe it. I hope you believe it. I hope you believe that when new leadership comes, victories will be won, God's people will be at peace, and the work of God will flourish. In other words, it was just as much the response of God's people and their acceptance of new leadership as it was the individual being placed before them. I see some nods, but did you catch that? It's just as much your response that's going to make it happen. You have a new pastor that's going to come and stand in this pulpit Sunday by Sunday preaching the Word of God and trying to bring the Word to you. But listen, it's your response that's going to make it happen in this church. It's how you respond and how you react that's going to make things happen that God wants to happen in this place. And so, as the search committee met and as the search committee prayed about who God would bring to this place, God was at work, God was in the process, God was leading them, and a new man has been called by God and called by you to stand in this place and to be your new pastor. And as that begins to happen, you need to prepare yourselves for what is about to happen. Now, here's what I suggest as to how you can prepare yourself for what is about to come. There are four things that I want to mention to you that you need to do individually and corporately as you prepare yourself for the future that God has for you under, and I think his name is Chris's new leadership. You have another Chris coming. Man. First of all, you need to renew your vision for worship. Now, today we have worshiped. Man, I love those songs we sung. I stood there, and man, what a joy to see people raising their hands to the Lord and acknowledging that as we sing those songs, we are experiencing worship. We're experiencing kind of, and music does that for me. I'm not going to make a, I guess it is. You know, singing in the Sons of Jubal. The reason I sing in Sons of Jubal, and I go every time I possibly can, is when I sing in the Sons of Jubal, I am worshiping. Music has done that for me all of my life. I grew up in a musical family, and my brother and sister sang. My sister sings in the Jubilaires, and we love music, and we grew up in church, the great hymns of the faith and the great things that God uses to bring us into his presence and to allow him to speak to us. And those songs are there to prepare you for what God's Word has to say. We do the worship, we do the singing, and we call that worship, but listen, worship continues as God's Word is preached. You agree with that? So often when we talk about worship, we're talking about the singing. Yes, that's part of the worship. But the greater act of worship comes when the Word of God is preached and the people of God are brought to the throne of God by the grace of God and into His Word. And may that be the desire of your heart, that you worship him in spirit and in truth. And worship is mentioned over so many times in Scripture as to what it means. And there's one writer that put it this way. To worship something is to make the pursuit and enjoyment of it the overriding goal, the overriding passion of your life. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your heart, mind, and with all your strength. That's worship. Loving God with all of your heart and all your strength. In Matthew, it says, the kingdom of God, heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went out and sold everything that he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything that he had and he bought the field. Listen, worship is treasuring the things of God so highly that we will give everything that we have in exchange for it. Worship is treasuring the things of God so strongly that we're willing to give anything up that keeps us from worshiping Him. Whatever it takes to experience God, to experience the power of God in your life. You see, worship transforms us. If it doesn't do anything else, it should change us. I mean, I don't know how you can sing that last song we sung without being changed in your spirit. I mean, it's like coming in here. If you're down, well, you're up now, or at least you ought to be. Because we just sang about the Lion of Judah and how that grave opened up and he went out of that grave. The roaring lion, he came out of that grave. And for us who are believers, that is what gives us this kind of excitement and joy about knowing that we can go out of this place because we worship that God. We worship that Lord. It's exciting. You see, worship transforms us. And we're not just talking about coming to church or singing songs or listening to a sermon. That sometimes it may leave you unchanged. But true worship, authentic worship, comes from the heart and it changes us. Because it is a law of human nature that what we worship, we become like. What we worship, we become like. Those who worship Jesus Christ will become more like Jesus. You believe that? Those who worship Jesus are going to become more like Jesus. If you are regularly turning your heart toward Christ in worship, you will over time be conformed to His character and His wisdom and His power. We were leading our care group through a study on the spiritual disciplines. And one of those disciplines was worship. And as I was doing some study about worship, I came to a little passage that I'm going to share with you. It's kind of unique, kind of different. But it came out of the book of all things, the book of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, it says this: walk prudently when you go to the house of God. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know what they do, but they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven, you are on earth, therefore let your words be few. Now that's an interesting little passage. And the writer of Ecclesiastes, of course, was Solomon. And in his wisdom, he said, look, when you go to the house of God, you better go carefully. And before you speak, you better listen. That makes sense? When you enter into worship, let me encourage you to continue to meet together as Hebrews says, as we should be doing always, but continue to come into this house of worship prepared to worship. And how do you do that? Well, you got to be prepared. If you really want to be prepared to worship on Sunday morning, you need to be synchronizing your heart with the Spirit every day of the week. You need to be praying. You need to be reading. You need to be listening Monday through Saturday. And if everyone did that, it would transform your worship, and it would absolutely transform this church. One writer put it this way. This is not mine, and I don't remember who wrote it, but I found this quote. It said, "Pray before you come so you'll be ready to pray. Sleep before you come so you will stay alert when you arrive." I used to have an old uncle who sang in the choir. He fell asleep every Sunday. Any of y'all ever fall asleep in church? Uh-oh. We don't need anybody. You know, sleep before you come so you will be alert when you arrive. Read the word before you come so your heart will be soft and ready to receive the word of God in worship. In other words, come hungry. Come willing. Come expecting God to speak. Come anticipating a memorable experience with the Creator of the universe. Again, I didn't write that, but I sure do like it. So I'm encouraging you as the people of God that one way you can prepare for God's future as you have a new leader coming, kind of renew your vision for worship and your desire to have authentic worship in your life personally and in this church. And God will do a great work. Secondly, I would say you have to renew your commitment to pray. You have to renew a deep commitment to pray. Colossians chapter 1, 9 and 10 says, "And so from the day that we heard," the Apostle Paul wrote, "we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Paul was praying this prayer for the church. He was praying this prayer for you and me. He was praying this prayer for the people of God, that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will and they would grow up in wisdom and understanding. And let me ask you this. When is the last time you prayed that kind of prayer for your pastor and your elders? When is the last time you prayed for your pastor and your elders in this way? When's the last time you prayed that kind of prayer for your church and for your community? Prayer, we know, has both a corporate and a personal element. By that I mean prayer changes you personally, and it can have an impact as well on your church and the church's ministry. It is through prayer that we are nourished by God. It is through prayer that we grow, that we're reminded of God's blessing. God will bless you with what you need to serve Him and give you energy and strength to follow Him as you come to Him in prayer. If we have neglected our own spiritual nourishment by failing to pray, how do we expect to be involved in the life of the church? If we have neglected to pray for ourselves and for our pastors and our leaders, how can we expect to be involved in such a way? We must pray so that we are able to minister to others, and because we're in a battle. We're in a fierce battle. We're going to be constantly opposed. Ephesians 6:12 says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We are in a battle, and we need the help of God. The enemy is ready to defeat us, so we cannot neglect prayer as we go into the battle. So I encourage you to kind of renew your prayer life. You know, when Emily and I get up every morning and have our quiet time and we have our Bible reading time together and we have a prayer, and first thing I ask Emily is, what do we need to pray for? And, you know, you've got a spiritual list. Maybe you have a prayer list in your Bible, or you know those in your church that need prayer. But, you know, what the impact of this is, if you're a praying people, God's going to honor that. God's going to bless that. God's going to use that not only for your personal growth as a believer in Christ, but also as you are involved in the life of the church. God's going to honor your prayers. He's going to answer your prayers. That's not always the way we want it to be answered, but God's promise is if you pray, He's going to answer according to His will. But listen, we need to be a praying people. And when Emily and I pray on that morning, we pray for our church, we pray for our pastor, we pray for our deacons, we pray for those, our elders, all of those who are involved in the life of the church. But listen, when you do that, you're in spiritual battle. You are praying that God would use them to win the victory that only Christ can win in their lives. So I encourage you as an individual and as a church, put a priority on prayer. Make it happen in your life individually and in the church. You also need to renew your commitment to grow. To grow as a believer. Ephesians 4 says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. You hear that? We're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What are you doing on a regular basis to make sure you are growing in your understanding of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And I have to be honest with you. Coming to church on Sunday morning and sitting in a one-hour worship service is not enough. I know that's hard, but it's true. Coming to church and is great. I mean, we need to. We got to be here. You need to be here as a part of that growth takes place in this place. But if that's all you're doing, it's not enough. You need to have some personal time with the Lord to help Him to allow you to grow in your knowledge and understanding of who He is and what He's doing in your life. Through your Bible study, through involvement in small groups. I know you have Sunday school here. You have small groups that are involved. But in every way possible, you need, as an individual believer, to continue to grow in your Christian experience, to grow in your life. It doesn't matter what age we are. I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry. I just turned 75, and I thought, boy, it's not a matter of age. It's a matter of knowing that when you get up in the morning and you're going to face the battles of that day, when you get up in the morning and you're going to face whatever challenges you have, and every one of us have it, if you don't have some kind of nourishment from the Word or some kind of way of understanding that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are to somehow begin to understand, what does God have for me today? What does God want me to do today? That will show that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what Christian growth is all about. It's about understanding that we can't do it on our own. We need the power of God's Word. We need the knowledge that comes from and the understanding that comes from studying that Word and putting it in our heart and believing it with all of our hearts and then allowing it to change the way we live. And to change the things that we do and the way we relate. So we need to commit to growth. And I love our small groups at our church. We have a number of, and Emily and I have a Bible study that meets in our home every Friday night. And we gather together and we have food, of course. We have food. Many of them are Filipino. We're part of a multi-ethnic church, and we have Filipinos and Africans and North Africans, and we have a lot of those kind of ethnic groups, and we come together in our home, and we have a time of fellowship, and then we come together under the leadership of God's Word, and we study God's Word together, and then we have our prayer time. And I'm telling you, we've been doing this for 10 years now in our home, And what happens is I've seen those disciples who have been coming to our care group begin to grow. They're growing every day in their understanding of who they are. If they were not, I would be not doing my job as their Bible teacher and pastor. But what it is I'm helping them to understand as they meet with us in that small group that growing is a part of an essential part of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So are you growing in the knowledge of the Lord so that we can no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine? We need to be ready to fight the battle in our mind, in our heart, in our life. Finally, I would say this. You need to also renew your desire to serve. To renew your desire to serve. A true disciple is willing to serve God no matter what. Romans chapter 2 says this. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, your spiritual act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and perfect and acceptable. For I say to you, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we are being many or one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us do it as ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Roman church, is saying, look, we're all members of the same body, and we need to use the gifts that God has given us. A true disciple of Jesus Christ is ready to serve. If there's something that you can get involved in the life of this church, you should do it. If you have a gift that God has given you, a talent, whatever you want to call it, if you've been given that gift, use it with all the energy and the strength that God has provided. You need to do that. You need to be ready for service. And I'll tell you, prepare yourselves for what's about to happen in the life of this church. The preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones once wrote this: men and women no longer exercise in sport as they used to. Instead, people tend to sit in crowds and just watch other people play. And I fear that is what is happening in the church. More and more we see people are just sitting back in the crowds while one or two people are expected to be doing everything. Now that, of course, is a complete denial of the New Testament doctrine of the church as the body of Christ, where every single member has responsibility and has a function and matters. Every member has responsibility, has a function, and matters. The church is definitely not meant to be a spectator sport. It's meant to be a place where we, the people of God, are the church, and we express our love for God and each other by active participation in the life of the church. A disciple of Jesus should want to be more than a spectator. A disciple should want to experience the blessing of following and serving their God. We are called to be church together, serving God and each other as your church enters this time of transition to new leadership. You need to ask yourself, where can I best use the gifts and the talents that God has given me for the building up of this church? What should I be doing in service to my Lord through this church? The way we discover our greatest joy as a disciple of Christ is in serving Him and using our gifts for Him. That should be our greatest joy. So as you anticipate the arrival of your new pastor, wouldn't it be exciting if when he comes, when he arrives, he finds a body of believers, a body of believers who are committed to authentic worship, to powerful and persistent prayer, to growing daily in their faith, and to serving the Lord with joy. Wouldn't it be great if when this new pastor comes, he finds a body here waiting and knowing, not just waiting, but actively involved in what God is doing in this place. So I encourage you to commit yourself to authentic and powerful worship, to persistent and powerful prayer, to growing daily in your faith, and serving with joy. Now that's the message God laid on my heart. And as we close this service, I want you to ask yourself, where do I fit in to that? Where do I have places that I need to grow? What do I need to do so that when God begins to work in the new future that he has prepared for this church, you can be involved. You can be there and you can experience the blessing that God has already prepared for what is to come. Where do you fit in? What do you need to do? It's between you and the Lord, but it's time to answer that question in your own heart. So let's pray together, and our worship team will come and lead us as we close. Father, thank you for your word, for your power, for your grace. And Lord, we know that you love us. We know you have prepared a future for us, and you have prepared a future for this church. And Lord, our prayer is that as a new leader comes, not only is he coming to lead, but we are coming to follow. We're coming to be ready, to be involved, to be a part of the future that you have laid out for this church. Lord, help us to know where we need to grow. Help us, Lord, to know what part we can play in making sure that this future that you have prepared will happen by the grace of God, by the power of God, and for the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Guide as we close this service. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.